Welcome to History in 6, the place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, Tima Lindell. Today we're going to talk about Bacon's Rebellion. Time is short, let's jump into it. The coastal areas and borders of the Virginia colony were well defined by their charter. The challenge for the Virginia colony was the extension of the colonial lands extended inland indefinitely. This led to a conflict of interest between the Tidewater plantation owners and the smaller farmers who moved into the hills of Appalachia. In essence, two different societies emerged. On the coast, you had southern plantations that were large, slave-owning, tobacco-growing farms. These were your leisure class. These were your elitists. These were your cultured, so to speak, colonialists. In the interior, you had a more rugged farming society where survival was the name of the game. The problem is the coastal areas dominated the assembly. They ran the government. This boiling pot between the interior and coastal groups continued to increase over time due to a number of factors. First, tobacco prices dropped in the 1660s, which hurt the small farmer. They weren't able to make as much money off their crops. Colonists also needed more and more land to grow tobacco, especially since their farming methods depleted the nutrients of the soil. You had freed indentured servants and immigrants coming from England who needed land and began to squat on the Native American land. On top of this, Governor Berkeley was unpopular due to the economic downturn and his own wealth and land grants. He had a monopoly on the beaver fur trade, keeping others from entering it. His cronyism didn't help him either. You also had Native American displacement. The Susquehannocks, people migrated south due to pressures from the Iroquois Confederacy. Here we have the colonists saw the arrival of these new Indians as competition for land and resources. Berkeley encouraged violence against the natives to take the land as they needed. So here we have land issues among the colonists. The natives were defending their land from encroachment. And these two forces set the stage for Bacon's Rebellion. In July 1675, Doeg Indians attacked colonists in Virginia, killing two, destroying their fields and livestock. The local militia tracked down the Doeg and killed the 10 involved. Unfortunately, there was a second militia that had mistakenly retaliated against the Susquehannock tribe, killing 14 innocent people. Governor Berkeley mistakenly blamed the Susquehannocks for the Doeg raid. A large Maryland militia force was formed to attack a Susquehannock stronghold. Once they arrived at the stronghold, they gathered the leaders of the Susquehannock tribe, but they denied responsibility for the attack. The militia tried the leaders and had them killed despite numerous promises from the colonists previously for peace. In response to the massacre, Susquehannocks and other tribes launched attacks on the colonists in Maryland and Virginia, killing nearly 100 colonists in total. After these Native American raids, Governor Berkeley called up the militia to attack the natives, but he quickly switched strategies and moved to a more defensive strategy, building forts along the frontier. The House of Burgess approved these forts and other measures to control the Indian threat. Well, this didn't help the settlers on the frontier, and they began to demand the right to defend themselves. 1676, a small group of farmers on the James River became convinced that Governor Berkeley didn't want anything to do with the Coleman folk, didn't want to help them with their struggles. They convinced wealthy planter Nathaniel Bacon to lead them against the Indians and the government. Bacon's followers aimed for government recognition of shared interests among all social classes, i.e. they wanted government to work for everybody and not just the wealthy landowners in the coast. Their goal was supposedly to focus on the colony's overall well-being and prosperity. This was just a surface-level approach. The key difference in what drove this was their approach to the Native Americans. Governor Berkeley favored keeping the Indians as subjects, people under the rule of the English crown, believing they could be valuable sources of information, i.e. spies and intelligence against potential enemies. Bacon's group advocated for a much, much harsher approach. They wanted to eliminate all Native Americans. Bacon led an armed group on an attack of the Native Americans. He claimed to be targeting Sisquinocks, but turned towards the Pamunkey tribe. When he arrived at their grounds, they had already fled. Bacon then went and convinced the Okanichi tribe to help him fight the Sisquinocks. But after they began to help them, Bacon refused to pay them. Instead, he massacred the Okanichi people, killing somewhere between 100 and 400 natives. These barbaric actions were too much for Governor Berkeley. He declared Bacon and his followers mutinous and rebels. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.